Good morning, everybody. So good to see you all. I am so happy to be able to worship with you this morning, even though I don't know what bad things you talk about while I was absent last Sunday. But this is the day that the Lord has made for us to celebrate our life, and I pray that we will have personal visit from the Holy Spirit this morning, who comes in and speak to our heart and touch our heart like no one can. In his book called Identity, Youth and Crisis, Eric Erickson tells a story he heard from a physician about an elderly man with a peculiar problem. The aged man vomited every morning, but had never felt any inclination to consult a doctor, as some stubborn men would. Finally, the man's family convinced him to get a checkup. The doctor asked, "How are you?" "I am fine," the man responded. "Couldn't be better. My family makes all the fuss, but I don't understand them." The doctor examined him and was surprised to find that he was, in fact, in good shape for his age. Finally, the physician grew impatient and asked, "I hear that you vomit every morning." The old man looked surprised and said, "Sure, doesn't everybody?" There may be two scenarios for understanding problems. One, like that old man, people do not know they have problems. Two, they do not have problems, but misunderstand as if they have. Have we experienced something similar to those situations? We had problems, but were not aware of them for a long time. In other instances, we did not have problems, but worried about them. Misunderstanding affects the way we think and live. It causes needless pain, waste time and resources, and so much more. I have found some statistics of actual cases of misunderstanding. According to the Google search, 90% of conflicts are caused by misunderstanding. I mean, 90%. So, if you are in conflict, clearing up misunderstanding should help. People nowadays use emails and texts a lot, but 50% of emails and texts are misunderstood. 75% of communications are interpreted incorrectly. Email, voicemail, direct communication, and text cause a very high percentage of misunderstanding and miscommunication at workplaces. And worse yet, misunderstanding is a leading cause of divorce. We are living in the age of information flood. What does that mean? That means misinformation is equally flooding as well. So how can people avoid misunderstanding? And one of the ways is by fact-checking. Everyone needs to practice it as often as possible. Fact-checking clears confusion, saves needless troubles, and stops wasting precious resources. It offers believers countless benefits. To mention a few, it strengthens faith, promotes inner peace, and builds healthy relationship with God. The doubtful disciples committed to fact-checking the resurrection and became convinced. You know, sometimes fact-checking can be replaced with the word doubt. Doubt is not necessarily bad, as long as we are open to find the reality out there instead of walking through our prejudice and, you know, all those tendencies of misunderstanding. Actually, Jesus invited the disciples to do the fact-checking. One good example of it was Jesus' appearance to the disciples. He invited them to see and touch him, right? This morning we are going to study fact-checking during times of trouble. When we are in trouble, our typical reaction is that we are doomed and the dark cloud over our path is there to stay. Thinking we cannot escape it, we become depressed. But these thoughts are nearsighted misunderstandings coming from the lack of faith. As we just read, Jesus said, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, and you also believe in me." Look at the word of Jesus closely. Jesus here revealed that there is a close relationship between our troubled heart and our faith. Why our hearts are troubled? Because we do not believe in God and in Jesus the way we should. Remember the story? A father once brought to Jesus his son who was possessed by an unclean spirit, which robbed him of speech, seized and threw him to the ground, sometimes even into fire and water. Nothing could be done to cure his son's condition, and even the disciples could not do anything. The father cried out to Jesus, "If you can do anything, please take pity." And Jesus' answer to him was, "Everything is possible for one who believes. Everything is possible if you believe." The boy's condition was beyond human, and the father understood that condition very clearly. But to Jesus, the humanly impossible problem can be transformed by faith. Therefore, the fact checking number one is that trouble should not trouble us. The real trouble we should be concerned is our lack of faith. And trouble plus a lack of faith becomes a double jeopardy. Fact-checking number two. We mistakenly interpret our troubles as God does not care for us. But God does care for us. We know that. And His grace is always available even when we are in trouble. The Apostle Paul said this, "God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." Apply this Paul's word to our troubles. God knows our weakness and abilities. He knows the level of trouble we can handle. The medical professionals at hospitals always ask patients about their pain levels and prescribe pain medications accordingly. God works like that as well. God knows our scope of ability to handle troubles and does not allow troubles beyond our strength. Some troubles may seem overwhelming, but God knows that we can handle them. Let me read the first and second verse of John 14. "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms." Now, the verse 2, "My Father's house has many rooms." Jesus was talking about going away and preparing a place for his followers. Jesus was a carpenter. He learned to build buildings and furniture on earth. But he did more. He was the master carpenter to build life. And as a heavenly carpenter, Jesus has been building God's kingdom. When it is all completed, he will come and fetch us there. Now, this might be something that you haven't tried. Combine verse 1 and 2 together and try to understand them together. If you do it, it goes like this. Do not let your heart be troubled. Just believe what I can do for you. My Father and I have not just one, but many solutions to your trouble. God has many rooms, many different approaches, many resources to solve our problems. He also knows so many people of talents and send them to help us. I know a couple of missionaries who serve on board the medical ship called Doulos. I heard a testimony from one of them. The ship traveled the world and provided free medical care. After the ship arrived at a port, the mechanics found a serious problem inside the engine. Finding and replacing the part could take months, and they had to reschedule the ship's itinerary. And the port where the ship docked turned out to be one of the only two places out of the entire globe to store the part they needed. There are many rooms in God's house. God's power and God's resources are limitless. Fact-checking number 3. Yes, trouble we see is real. We feel the excruciating pain and feel like the end is near. But let us be mindful that the trouble we see are only a partial, not the whole picture. Medical researchers say that emotional trauma and mental stress can cause vision loss. But their worst effect is emotionally and mentally blinding people to see the brighter side of their lives. Trouble is not all there is. Another undeniable reality is this. During the storm of life, Jesus is traveling with us. And he can calm the storm down. We may be in so much pain and may feel the absence of God, but in that very place of doubt, Jesus is holding us with his righteous arms and has everything under his control. In his sermon, Finding God in a Busy World, John Killinger tells the story of a woman whose life was transformed by finding God's peace in the middle of trouble. Killinger had traveled to New York to preach, and one night he took a walk with one of his hosts on a seafront that overlooked Manhattan. The woman explained the significance of that place to her. She had gone through difficult times since moving to New York several years before. Her husband had left her. Her daughter had been difficult to raise. One night, she had walked to this seafront in such pain and despair that she didn't know how she could go on, says Killinger. She said, on one of the benches and looked across the bay at the city. She stared out at Liberty Island in the distance, and she watched the tugboat as they moved in and out of the bay. She said, the longer she said, the more her life seemed to be invested with a kind of quietness that came over her like a spirit. Down deep, she began to feel peaceful again. She said she felt somehow that God was very near to her, as if she could almost reach out and touch God. Better yet, she didn't need to reach out. God was touching her. She felt whole and complete and healed as she sat there that evening. It became a turning point in her life. Since then, she said, whenever I feel under pressure in my job or from any personal problems, I come down here and sit on this very bench. I am quiet. I feel it all over again, and everything is all right. Her trouble did not go away, but she found God amid her problems. King David went through so much trouble, but confessed repeatedly in Psalms, like the following verses. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his trouble. God is our refuge and strength and an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, if any of us are in trouble today, let us do some fact-checking and clear up our misunderstanding. Trouble should not make us worry, because God's care and grace are available when we are in trouble. God is able and has many revenues to take care of us. We travel through the restless sea, but Jesus travels with us. Do not let your heart be troubled. God is surely able. Trust in God and be at peace. Amen.